house. Who in this place has had a hug from Jack? He's the master. You always feel better after a hug from Jack.
Happy Father's Day, guys. It's the only day of the year they appreciate us. But anyhow. I love being a dad, eh? I see every boy as my son and every girl as my daughter. So it's been the greatest privileges I have is to be a husband and a father and a grandfather. Nothing better. Psychologists, I turn your Bibles to Deuteronomy chapter 5, verses 9 to 10. Psychologists say that mums give children their sense of security. With the nurturing process, when they're breastfeeding, there's that one-on-one connection, that eye-to-eye connection. And so a child receives its 100% of its security from mum. But from dad, a child receives 100% of their identity. That's what psychologists say. I love comedians. I love to laugh. I really don't like serious movies too much. And I love this British comedian, a woman called Dawn French. Who's heard of Dawn French? French and Saunders? Yeah, awesome comedian. Well, here's what she says. It was my father who taught me to value myself. He told me that I was uncommonly beautiful and that I was the most precious thing in his life. See, dads give their children 100% of their identity, who they are in the world, how they relate, where they fit. Dads give that. We have the power as men to create generations of kids who know who they are. Are you at Deuteronomy chapter 5, verses 9 and 10? This is just after God's giving the law. He says, you shall not bow down to them or worship them. He's talking about idols. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children, and listen to this, for the sins of the fathers to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me. And look at verse 10. There's such great promise in this. But showing love or grace to 1,000 generations for those who love me and keep my commandments. Men have the incredible capacity to impact not just 3 or 4 generations, but thousands of generations to come. We're talking 25,000 years of promise, of blessing, of greatness. Men have incredible capacity to shape generations to come. I want to talk quickly about men. You know, ladies, we are the butt of your jokes half the time, yes? Come on, be honest. You love making fun about us. My wife makes jokes about me. I don't even know she has. Because I don't care. But there's a distinct difference between men and women, apart from the physical and the obvious. Women think different from men. And all the guys say? And men think different from women, all the women say? In the early 90s, there was some research done by neurologists on the developing brain of a fetus. Between the female brain and the male brain. This is true. They noticed that with female brains, as they developed in the womb, there was like a connection between the left-hand sphere and the right-hand sphere. We've heard about the left brain, the right brain. The left is logic, apparently. The right is creative. It's not exactly true, I might add, but because logic is on both sides and creativity is on both sides of the brain. But anyhow, for the subject matter, left and right brain. Well, they discovered that as a female brain grows in the fetus, in the womb, there is a distinct connection between the left and the right. That's why women can talk about everything all at the same time. They can hold conversations for hours and change their conversation without notice like that. My wife can be talking to me for 1 minute And she's changed the conversation 5 times, and I don't even know what's going on. She has to tell me, I'm changing the subject now. Because she's sick of looking at that confused look on my face all day. Something just happened, and I don't know what it was. But women have this connection between this side of their brain and that side of their brain. And they think spatially. You know, women can not see each other for 20 years and pick up the conversation just like that. They can not see their best friend for 20 years, and when they see them, it's like yesterday. You think spatially. You think across the board. You multitask. I don't know how you do it. Slap me, kick the kids, feed the dog, all in one go. Me, I can only do one thing at a time. Put my clothes on. I didn't even dress myself today. She had to choose my clothes. Can't I wear shorts and a footy jumper? Come on. My wife multitasked. I can only do one thing at a time. Thank you. Dear. So women think differently from men because your brains are wired differently. You can jump from left to right, backwards and forwards without us even knowing. You think spatially. Men don't think like that. We think linear. They found it in the developing fetus, that same connection that you women have, that at some point during the developing brain, it severs. We don't think like you guys. We think linearly. That is, now, 10 minutes time, half an hour's time, hour's time, we think in a line. That's why we do what we do. See, my wife can tell me, can you put out the rubbish? Can you feed the dog? Can you wash the car? And I'm like, yeah, in time, because I think linearly. But she thinks, all now, must be done now. There is no tomorrow. You must do it now. And I'm like, because I think about the moment. So she's telling me all week to put out the rubbish, feed the cat and the dog, and wash the car. And I'm, yeah, I will later. 7 days pass. The dog's died. The car, well, who cares? I just go to work on it. And the rubbish just piles up in the backyard. Because we think linearly. Yeah, we'll get to it. Janine thinks about it now. I want it now. Done now. Yeah. It's late at night. I'm watching football. What a terrible score last night, but anyhow. I'm watching football, and my wife's had a shower. She's wearing that nice little lace thing. Sheer fabric, almost see-through. And I'm looking. And she kisses me goodnight. And I'm watching the football, and she slides on past, and I'm like, So I race outside, I hose the car down, I feed the dog. I take a whole week's worth of rubbish out. I run into the shower, I switch it on, I'm done in 30 seconds. Spray some cologne on, slide onto bed, I go, hey, baby. And she gives me the cold shoulder. Why? I got no idea what she's on. I go, come on, man. What's going on? What's the matter? You didn't put out the cat, didn't put out the rubbish, didn't wash the car. I said, man, that was last week. I'm thinking about now. And my only excuse, ladies, is that our brains are a little broken. We're different. We don't think the same as you. We think of everything as a challenge. When you come to us with your problems, we want to defeat it. I know you guys just want to have someone to have a D&M with. But we're not that kind of guy. We see things different from you. That's why we want to be heroes, not your best friend. Men have incredible power to change generations. We think the way we think because we are the way we are. we've been created the way we have. I don't get you, woman. You confuse the heck out of me, but I love every one of you. We are different from you. And honestly, I don't care if it's politically incorrect, but I love the shoulder charge. I think it's awesome. I think having a knuckle in a game is the best thing ever. When someone gets knocked out, that's funny. Especially the umpire, yes. We're made different from you. We see things different. And God sees us different. Let's have a look again, Deuteronomy. We're on verse, look at verse 10. End of verse 5. Punishing the children for the sins of the fathers to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing love to 1,000 generations of those who love me and keep my commandments. Men, can I talk to you directly? If you want to make a difference, a real difference in the generations to come, here's a note for you. Listen to what God says and do it. Listen to what our Heavenly Father tells us to do, and let's do it. If it's in the Bible, and He's telling us to do it, then man, let me encourage you to do it. You want to bless your kids? You want to bless your grandkids and your great-grandkids and the generations to come? Listen to what God says and do it. Listen to what God says and do it. My dad was a funny guy, still is a funny guy. He drives my wife nuts. But when I was a young kid, my dad was a little standoffish, you know, like men do, like particularly that generation of dad. I didn't really sort of know my dad. And we never really hugged. You probably don't get it why I hug everyone. I always hug the people I love or people I don't know. Sorry, I don't hug the people I don't know, but I always hug the people I love, even if it's Dave. But anyhow. But my dad, he was never a hugger. He was never a, you know, he was like, here you go, mate. He was that kind of guy. And I remember growing up when Luke was born, he was little and Bub was tiny. For those who don't know, this little boy here is my boy. I remember thinking to myself, I don't want to be distant from my son and my daughters. I don't want to be afar off, you know? I don't want to be that cold dad. And so I remember, I've got to fix this with my dad. Because if I don't fix it with my dad, I'm not going to have troubles with my kids. And I remember meeting my dad. My dad came over here. I hadn't seen him for a little while. And I thought, if I don't do something now, it's going to stay the same. If I don't do something now, then it's going to stay exactly the same. So I determined in my heart when I saw him, I was going to hug him and kiss him. And so when I practiced it in my head over and over again, went over the game plan. When I saw my dad, I went up, I hugged him, I kissed him. And I told him, I love you, Dad. My old man was like, what's the matter, son? You're poofed up. No, Dad, I just tell you, I love you. And every time I saw him, I walk up to him, I hug him, I kiss him, I say, I love you, Dad. And we went from, when I see him, progressively, whenever I got to see him, before he'd speak, he would lean into me. Because someone decided to take control of that thing. So, I see my son, he's 15 years old, with all his mates down in Westfield, hanging with the boys. Hungry Jacks. And I'm walking along, I see my son with his mates, and I walk up and say, hey son. He runs over to me because he's taller than me, lanky. He gets to me, he leans over to me, hugs me, kisses me on the cheek. But he does this first, he goes, and bends down to me. I hated that. He bent down, he kissed me on the cheek and said, I love you, Dad. Because someone decided to change a generation. Because someone decided to do something a little different. There is great power for fathers to instill in their children something of beauty. I know mums do it too, but we're just picking on dads today. All of this starts with a decision. Someone making a choice. Someone making a decision that what we've had, we're not going to have anymore. We're going to choose something different. Hallmark greeting cards. You know, the cards that you buy in the card shops. If you want really good ones, see Kim. She makes funny ones. They're awesome. But Hallmark one year decided they were going to do something special. So they went to a prison over in America. Mother's Day was approaching, and they said what they do is they would give cards to all the prisoners, as many cards as they wanted, and they could fill them out, and Hallmark would pay for the postage and everything, and they sent truckloads of cards to this one prison. And it cost them a fortune. And it was a great success for them. Years later, or the following year, they thought, we're going to do the same thing. It's Father's Day coming up. We're going to do the same thing. And they sent truckloads of cards to this prison. When they came back to collect all the cards, not one card was filled out. Not one. And they found that every single one of those men in prison had been affected so harshly by their father that they couldn't bring themselves to do anything good for their dad. Men have the great power to affect their children, both good and bad. When God says, I will curse even to the third and fourth generation for the sin of the father, his hope is that we would love him and serve him and honor him so that he can bless 1,000 generations for us. Being a father and a dad is a choice. I'm not talking about sperm donor. I'm talking about a choice. About loving your children. One of the greatest things I ever did for my kids was to stay married to their mum and loving their mum. Fatherhood is a choice. Being a dad is a choice. Just for a minute, we're going to play a video. I just want you to have a look at this dad and what he does.
You know what? We're not waiting. We're going to celebrate Thanksgiving all month with Thankful Thursdays, honoring people with big hearts making a difference. This morning, a police detective who rescued two brothers, changing their lives forever. In this old retired firehouse in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, an unlikely story of hope between the ropes.
Three, jab.
Inside, a boxing gym.
They wanted to learn how to box.
Where Josh and his brother Jesse have found much more than a workout. They found something to be truly thankful for.
Pivot.
2 years ago, their coach, Jack Mook, noticed that something was terribly wrong.
They look pale. Josh had bags under his eyes.
And one day, the boys, who were living in a foster home, stopped coming.
We were concerned because Josh loved the sport so much.
Jack tracked them down and discovered something very painful. Their existence had spiraled into a living nightmare with no beds and no parenting.
Josh's own words were, I'm literally trying to sleep my life away. And I go, what do you mean? He goes, I get home from school, I'm just trying to fall asleep until I have to go to school again. You know, coach, you got to get us out of there. Can you help us?
He said, you're coming home with me now. That was one of the greatest moments in my life so far that I could think of.
Jack took them in, first as a foster dad, and then 2 months ago, he adopted them. The judge herself so moved, she had a photo taken.
He's a great father because he's teaching me how to be a better man in life.
The boys kind of hit the lottery of fatherhood. Jack Mook is a Gulf War veteran, proud of his years with the Army's 82nd Airborne. He's also a narcotics detective, and that's just his day job. And he can cook, well, kinda.
Everything he does is for a purpose, like he likes to say.
And this isn't the first time he's rescued someone. He took in his own niece and launched her into adulthood.
I remember at 18 years old working at a restaurant, and he would iron my shirts. you know, and teach me that sort of stuff.
Now a mother herself, she's grateful and in awe of what he's doing for these two beautiful boys.
They're so happy. I mean, we would give anything just for them to never feel this pain again. He's a hero, not just in the boys' eyes, but, you know, mine, my family's, his friends. Everybody can see it. Not many people would change their lives like that and just turn everything upside down at the drop of a dime and just, you know, take on a new life.
And ladies, listen up. This human superhero is single, but he is focused on the children, building his family one step at a time.
I'm all right with dinner and maybe drinks, and that's as far as it's gonna go.
My mother often said, with family, you may not have it all together, but together, you have it all. We thought we'd end with a message from the kids to Jack.
Coach, I just wanted to say thank you for everything you've done.
And I just wanted to let you know that you're the best father in the world.
I know, we want to thank Detective Jack Book for his service.
That's pretty awesome, eh? You see, fatherhood is a choice. It really is a choice. To be a good dad is a choice. Once heard a guy say that all of life is held in the power of your choice. Everything that happens is because we choose it. And we can make a difference. Let me close with this before I go. My dad didn't know what to do because his dad didn't know what to do. Because his dad didn't know what to do. And generations had grown up being distant. The great curse upon communities now is fatherlessness. That is, no fathers. No fathers to grow and nurture and challenge and discipline and love. And so kids grow up without that sense of who am I and what am I meant to be and do. If I can make a challenge to every man here, maybe if you're not a hugger or a kisser or that sort of stuff, don't jump on your teenage son and try and kiss him. It's just not going to work. So I'm not saying you have to do what I did. But what I am saying is that you need to do something different to make it happen. I'd like to pray for all the fathers, all the men, if you'd like to stand where you are now. And the fathers-to-be, hopefully my son's going to have one coming along. And not yet, it's not happening, just so you know. Just saying that down the line, we're hoping. No, just for men, thank you. No ladies. It's a man thing. Ladies, why don't you reach out to these men, and if you're your husband next to you, reach out to them and pray God's richness into their lives. Heavenly Father, I thank you for these men that I stand with, men that I call brother and friend. And I thank you so much for the impact they have, not only on the church, but the nucleus of this church, the family. We pray, Father God, that we would become men of God as you've called us to be. That, Lord, that we'll become the fathers and the husbands that you've called us to be. Lord, we pray that even as you give us the greatest example of fatherhood, that you love your children even to the point of death, that you guide them, that you guard them, that you govern over their lives, that you've prepared plans and a path for them. We pray, Heavenly Father, that we as dads, the Father God, that we can do the same, that we can watch over our families, and watch over our children, Lord, be the men that our wives deserve and the fathers that our children can look up to. Father, we pray your anointing upon these men and your blessing as we sanctify them to your name. In Jesus' precious name. And all the saints said, amen. Thank you, Pastor.
Come on, give Jack a hand. Get